Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
It's the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
And a good Tuesday morning to all of you in the Bulldog Nation. Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios, right here in the heartbeat of Dog Nation, the classic city, Athens, Georgia. And let's start things off with how well things are going athletically at the University of Georgia now with our good friend and the man who's now in the hot seat, the big chair, got the great office overlooking all of campus, our J. Reed Parker Director of Athletics, Josh Brooks. Josh, appreciate your time this morning. What a weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Thanks for having me, Chuck. I appreciate your time.
Well, how about we get a great run by Joni Taylor and the women's basketball team. We get a win in gymnastics. Men's basketball fought Alabama just tooth and nail right to the end and now getting set to go to the SEC tournament. Baseball gets a walk-off home run yesterday from Chaney Rogers, a three-run shot in the bottom of the ninth to win 7-4 and take that series. Softball was great. It was just a great weekend.
Yeah, you hit most of them right there, and even include women's tennis. They've been rolling. That team's been a lot of fun to watch this spring. They've been really strong. The only loss they've had was to number one ranked North Carolina, and that was down to the wire, a tiebreaker. But it's always fun to see these teams compete. They work so hard, and when you can see them have success on the field or on the court, it's so much fun. And really proud of Joni and the young ladies on our women's basketball team. To see how they progress and how they've grown this year. And they're playing some really strong basketball right now, to knock off, Texas A&M, beat Kentucky, and take South Carolina to the wire. This team is going to be one that's going to be a force to reckon with when they go to San Antonio. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how they perform.
You know, I always say in basketball, you want to be playing your very best at the end of February and into March, and that's exactly what you're seeing with the Lady Dogs.
No doubt.
And I'm not also certain that that's not what you're seeing, too, with Tom Crean's squad.
That's right. And, you got to remember with Coach Crean's squad is we had, we had some young guys and we had some grad transfers that really didn't get a lot of time this offseason to work together. They were kind of thrown in the mix. And now you're seeing that time that is paying off now, how they've developed and have gotten better and guys are finding their role. And they played so hard and really proud of Coach Crean and the guys and thankful to our student body. We had a great turnout from our students Saturday, which really – in these difficult times of limited capacity with COVID restrictions, it was probably one of the best crowd we've had all year. And it really created some atmosphere and segment. I cannot thank our students enough for what they did Saturday.
And you came up with a great idea to expand that student section, let it come around the court and give them some of the really prime seating. And I you could tell it, like you said, it made a huge difference in the atmosphere in the build, and it was great. It was really a terrific game to be a part of. Let's bring up the SEC tournament, which starts this week. Josh, will you now go to I know in the past the ADs have all gotten together, congregated in Nashville. They would have the Southeastern Conference meetings, which I think were actually underway last year when everything came unglued and fell apart and the pandemic really hit us and took a toll. Will that happen again this year?
We're all going, but we're not having any scheduled meetings because we're currently having weekly meetings anyway. So we're really in these times of COVID, everything else going on, we've had regularly scheduled meetings that we wouldn't normally have. So we're pretty much caught up that we don't need to have a special one-off meeting at the tournament like we normally would. So we'll meet again. We meet tomorrow is our weekly meeting. And then I would assume most, if not all 80s will be there, but there's no formal scheduled meeting we'll have. But yeah, this marks the one year anniversary of when it all shut down last year.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean that would happen again. What I was talking about was I was just wondering if business as usual would continue. And you do bring up an interesting point, because throughout the pandemic, the ADs have been meeting regularly over Zoom. So I can see where other business would be also addressed at that point. What are some of the things that are being addressed right now around the conference?
You know, obviously the big thing is still working through COVID logistics as it relates to how do you take care of your student athletes, your staff, how do we host events. We're still working through that, and it's an ever evolving, ever changing process that you can't ever just say, well, it's done, we got to stick to it. You've got to keep adapting and keep going with it, and we're getting close to the end of the indoor sports. We still have a few more home events in volleyball, gymnastics. We've got regionals coming up, basketball season, the home season over from that standpoint. So now shifting a lot more focus to the outdoor events, the baseballs, the softballs, the tennises of the world. So really just that's one of the key things. We're obviously tracking what's going on in the world of NIL and everything else in that realm. But, you know, COVID and everything around that still takes up a good portion of our time as we work through this ever-changing world of COVID.
Well, you know, obviously – we are seeing light at the end of the tunnel, and I think everybody is looking forward to full capacity football games. You've said in the past that's what we are planning for. Is that the information that you're getting from health officials, is that by the time we get to the 1st of September, we may be in a position to do that?
It's all over the place right now, Chuck, but I think there is a growing sense of optimism when you talk to different officials. No one wants to come out and say where we'll be come September. We're still so far away. But I can tell you in my own informal way, I am tracking every metric there is, from cases to the vaccine that has been administered. And I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful. I mean, I'm very proud of the work that's going on across the country right now, getting vaccines delivered to people. And I think as those numbers keep going up, and now we have a third vaccine out there, everyone's tracking it and keeping track of the numbers, and the cases are starting to decline. So I think we're all hopeful, but we're all staying the course. I think you've got to balance that optimism with the same mindset of let's stay focused, let's keep doing what we need to do, and we'll get there. But the good news is it's just March and things are getting better. And if we know what we need to do, we know the procedures, and as long as we stick to the plan, I'm extremely optimistic that we'll be in a good situation come the fall.
Yeah, I think the one thing we do want to stress to people is, to put it in Petros language, we want to run through the tape. You know, and that's what we need to do here down this stretch. Josh, let's talk a little bit about spring football getting ready to crank up. And I know that's always a huge part of our spring calendar is the 15 practices that we get in. And Coach Smart has addressed the media. It sounds like he's chomping at the bit after having missed it last year because of the pandemic. That he's chomping at the bit to get at it.
That's right. And this is always a great time. It doesn't matter what year in school you are. This is always a great time to get better. Focus on the fundamentals and go to work. And I think that's the mindset that this group's got. And Coach Smart's always had that mindset of, let's focus on finding a way to get better. You've got 15 opportunities to go out there and just get better every day. So always excited because of the note, you know, the work ethic our group has, you know, the work ethic from the coaches to the student athletes, the staff. So this is where, you know, we just focus on the process and everyone can focus on getting better. And all the guys that are here just work together, and you're excited to see those returners hit the field and get that spring ball that we didn't have last year. So I think it's a great opportunity for all of us.
Well, I can't let you go without asking you about, you sent some pizzas out to our baseball fans in the greenhouse out behind right field at Foley Field. And I thought that was just a great move. Let those young people know how much we appreciate their enthusiasm. We want to keep everything on a sportsmanship level, but that was a great move to let them know about, you know, that's a great part of the tradition of Foley Field.
Yeah, we actually sent them some Raising Cane's this weekend as well. You know, we want to take care of that group. We appreciate their support and their passion because they support Georgia baseball and they're big fans. But we always want to remind them, hey, look, you know, we know there's always a tradition in college baseball of giving the outfielders a little grief. No matter where you go, you're going to see some of that. But we always want them to keep it, you know, keep it civil, keep it respectful. There's ways that you can do it and be cheeky and have fun with it, but not cross the line. And for the most part, all those students out there are doing that, doing a great job. But every now and then there's one that pops up that we have to handle. But I'm very happy with that group and really just want them to keep bringing that energy and atmosphere that makes Foley special. So anything we can do to kind of just send them a little thank you and just a reminder to keep working with us, we'll do that. Because this is a partnership, and that's the way we want to view it. We don't want to view it as us having to be the cops out there for them. But we want them to have fun and do it the right way.
Josh, really appreciate your time this morning, as always. And we'll be catching up with you again real soon here. And as always, let's keep things rolling. Boy, they're going real well right now.
Yeah, and just give a quick shout-out. We've got some great teams competing in championships coming up the next 2 weeks. Track's going to be going to Arkansas, and then we got men's women's swim and dive going to Greensboro, North Carolina, to compete for nationals. Both those, all those programs have a great chance to make some noise and keep track of. They're going to have a great run here.
That's right. Bring some more hardware back to Athens. We love that.
Right.
Josh Brooks, our J. Reed Parker Director of Athletics, joining us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. We'll take a break. Back with more right after this.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. It's Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Oh, welcome back, and let's get right to it with our good buddy Chip Towers, the AJC at AJC.com. And Chip, Bill Parcells said any great leader needs to expect 4 to 10 unexpected things every single day when he walks into the office. And I think he should have included sports journalists.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you think everything's sailing along, and then suddenly over the weekend we get this crazy story out of Valdosta with the former head of their touchdown club and their football coach, Rush Probst, from back in – what, from last May?
Yeah, it was almost a year ago that this recorded, and I think that's important to consider here. But in any case, yeah, you know, it's a regular Monday, a week before spring practice, football practice starts, and basketball's winding down, and you're not expecting something like this. But, you know, anytime you hear, you know, audio recording in college football, there's no telling what you're going to hear, and some pretty outlandish accusations by Rush Probst, who's got a world of trouble going on down there in Valdosta, which has seemed to have followed him around of late. But I reported on it in the AJC, making some pretty big accusations about Georgia and Alabama paying recruits to come play for him. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I mean, UGA compliance is looking into it, and I truly don't believe anything will come of it. Not for me to guess any kind of outcomes or anything, but the bottom line, yeah, and these things, you got to prove it, and I'm not sure that can be done.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Chip, and you may have a different view of this. Two things that strike me. First off is that Kirby Smart just does not strike me as the kind of guy that would do anything that's not within the guideline. I mean, he seems to have control of everything that touches football. So that kind of makes me think it'd be hard for things to be going on that he wasn't aware of. And I just can't believe that, you know, that's me and my read on Kirby. I just think he's not that kind of guy.
Well, you know, Chuck, this has been going on since the beginning of time with college football. Of any time a team experiences great success, it seems like finger pointing begins from the outside.
Yeah.
And you know, that's been the case really since Kirby showed up. Kirby and Georgia and Alabama right now are winning most of these wars in recruiting in college football. And anybody who knows Kirby or Nick Saban, the organization effort that they put into this is really otherworldly. So you can say anything you want about money, but I think really the outpouring of resources from Georgia is in
facilities,
facilities, personnel, and then the effort. I mean, you know, Georgia's recruiting, getting players right now from California and Nevada and other places. Based on effort, you know, flying out there, spending money on flights and doing all those kind of different things. Georgia has a huge recruiting budget, and that was one thing Kirby sort of insisted on when he took this job, and Georgia, you know, has complied with that. And so whenever that happens, the rest of the league's been going on forever, and the SEC starts pointing fingers. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just a reporter. I'm glad you pointed this out. You know, I didn't create this story. I called down there. I now know a man named Nub Nelson, who I've never known before. Seems like a pretty good character out of Valdosta, who is the one who made these recordings a year ago, just sort of to cover himself. And he recently got fired, and this stuff came to light. So it is what it is. Georgia's compliance is on it, and I'm sure they'll check it out, and if there was anything untoward, they'll fess up to it.
Yeah, and Nick Chubb denied it. I mean, I just – and plus, too, if you know Kirby and know how he is, and on top of this, I've never been around a coach that loves recruiting as much as he does. I mean, if you want to know why the man's successful, he's got passion about that particular part of his job, and that's the way he's always struck me. But, Chip, I got to tell you, I know that as a reporter, you do a great job, and you cover this stuff, and you'll keep us all updated on exactly what's going on and up to date with it. But I appreciate your time as always, my friend. And
all right,
you know, and just I'll catch up with you here in another week or so.
I'm sure I'll see you down the road, brother.
You got it. Chip Towers of the AJC and AJC.com with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. We'll take a break. We come back. We've got the SEC Coach of the Year for women's basketball, Joni Taylor.
Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Hey, welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable, and all of Dog Nation so excited about the season that our Lady Bulldogs have put together on the hardwood, and led, of course, by head coach Joni Taylor. She was the SEC Coach of the Year, a semifinalist for National Coach of the Year. Joni, congratulations to you, but congratulations to your team, too. I know you're so proud.
I really am, Chuck. Good to talk to you. And let me stop and say I appreciate all your text messages over the weekend and your encouragement. And I'm serious. Like, you have no idea, like, how much it means to, you know, get back to your phone and pick up messages from people who have been invested in your program and with these young ladies in the team. And you've watched us grow up over the years, so I really appreciate that. But I'm really proud. You know, I'll start with these seniors. It was really our first full recruiting class as a new program and staff. and we put a lot of responsibility and expectation on them. And it hasn't always been easy, but they have always stepped up to the challenge and done exactly what we've asked them to do. They have represented Georgia basketball and this institution in a, you know, first class manner. And so for them to be able to put it all together this year and lead this team, I just can't be more proud of a group of young people.
Joni, you know, I think the dream of every coach at the collegiate level is to, A, have good seniors, which you clearly have a handful of, and then, two, have your team playing its best basketball at this time of year.
You know what? We really are, and I think it's what you want to peak at the right time. You don't want to peak too early. You don't want to peak too late. And we're doing that. And I tell you what, we were doing that last year before everything shut down. We were peaking at the right time. We had won five out of our last seven, and that was with Q Morrison going down with an injury. And so I think we really sat down once we realized when our season was starting, November 25th, and we sat down as a staff and we said we cannot have them worn out. We cannot have them mentally fatigued. And so we really pushed a lot of things back. We didn't do anything contact or five-on-five or anything hard for a really long time. I mean, our team came back June 22nd. So from June 22nd up until now, they have been here. That's a very long time. So we just made sure that we didn't wear them out too early. And then we've also just been able to cut practice and make things a lot shorter and be more efficient how battle-tested they are. The second secret sauce is just the chemistry we have.
I mean, you scare the daylights out of South Carolina. It was really a great basketball game, and we just had a little bit of a rough second and third quarters there, but made a good push. And believe me, you know, had them concerned in the fourth quarter, and now moving ahead into the NCAA tournament, which will take place in San Antonio, and you'll find out, I believe Monday, you will find out your seeding and your opponent. Is that correct?
Correct. The selection show is on Monday. Yes.
And do you feel like, is the secret sauce the seniors on this team?
There's no doubt. That's the first part of our secret sauce is our seniors and our experience and just how battle-tested they are. The second secret sauce is just the chemistry we have. Our young ladies love each other. They play well together. They play for each other. They have fun. You can see that. It shines through when you watch us play. And they're playing for each other. I mean, you look at what happened at Texas A&M. Michaela Coombs goes down. I think everybody holds their breath.
Yeah.
Then at halftime, she's like asking what the score is. She finds out we're down three, and she's like, I got to go back in. And look what she did when she came back in, scored 12 out of her 14 points in the third and fourth quarter. You know, that same game, Q Morrison goes down with like 34 seconds left. At that time, I do believe the game is in hand. I don't think Texas A&M can make a run to come back. And she's trying to come back in the game. And I'm like, no, we need to get you rested and ready for tomorrow. And she's like, no, I got to go back out there and make sure we finish this out. And so I let her go back out there. That's the type of spirit we have. And I could tell several stories about Jenna doing the same thing and Gabby playing through injuries and other Mallory's out there playing with a broken nose, had surgery, you know, on a Monday, and we leave on Wednesday going to the SEC tournament. So that's just the spirit of this team, but they do it because of the love they have for each other.
Jenna's another story that I think as a coach you feel fortunate to have somebody that can play in that post, get you rebounds, block shots, and be a bit of an intimidator around the rim, but then can step out and hit threes.
She is so skilled. You know, she's a three-level scorer, has always been a three-level scorer. Where she's really been impressive this year is her ability to be physical in the post. You know, that's the last part that she did not really want to embrace with the physicality. And I think finally it was like, listen, like you have an advantage, and that is the best place that your advantage is. So go down there and take advantage of that. Yes, that you can still have opportunities to shoot the three. You can still have opportunities to do other things, but you're leaving money on the table when you float and not post up on the block. And the other area where she's really taken on some responsibility is being a rim protector for us. You know, Jenna leads the SEC in block shots and had six against Texas A&M. And I think that in previous years, Jenna placed her value in scoring. And if she wasn't scoring, she would sometimes check out mentally. And she's so much more than a scorer. And I think her owning the responsibility to be a huge rebounder for us and to be a rim protector for us. And the Tennessee game here at home is a perfect example. She only has 6 points, but she plays over 30 minutes and blocks shots and rebounds and you know, and if she's not in there, we don't win. So she can, she now understands that she can be on the floor for long minutes, and it doesn't have to be based on her scoring and scoring alone. So those are the two areas where she's really matured, and I'm just, you know, couldn't be happier for Steady Stady, as they call her, Chuck.
Steady That's Stady. A great Steady Stady. Well, Joni, I got to tell you, it's just, you know, what we want to be every year is in the conversation, and you've certainly gotten us in the conversation this year, and it is just so great to see. We're all so proud of these young ladies and of you and the job you're doing and your staff. Y'all have just it's been amazing to watch, and now, you know, hey, look, we can make a run in this tournament. There's no rule that says we can't.
Well, there's no doubt, and it's what I told our young ladies on Sunday. I said, listen, this hurts. You know, it hurts for our seniors. We couldn't cut down nets for you today, but thank the good Lord we have an opportunity to cut down nets in about 3 weeks. You know, if nothing else, we learned today we've got to figure out how to not have such long dry spells. We've got to figure out how to stop runs sooner and go on runs quicker. But the biggest thing that I hope we learned today is that we can beat anybody in the country. And so we've got to stay healthy, take care of our business, be smart, because we could be in the Final Four, Chuck. We can play for it all. I have no doubt about that, and we believe that as a program.
Well, I believe it, too. I love to hear that from you, that kind of confidence. Joni Taylor here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. Joni, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck going forward now. And, again, we'll find out the NCAA draw next Monday. To all of you in the Bulldog Nation, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate you as always. And, of course, as always, let's have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
The best Bulldogs coverage in the South.
Thanks for tuning in.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.